tracking United States citizens.
Acting ICE Director. Congressmember Al Green, I want to turn to you, both you as well as Delia Ramirez. Well, Delia Ramirez has called for the impeachment of Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary. You said she should be impeached and prosecuted. Why?
Impeachment is not enough. She's a part of a crime. She's a part of a cover-up. She knows that a felony was committed. She has tried her best to pin this rap on the person who was murdered. I think that we cannot settle for impeachment. I'm going to vote for it. But I think she needs to be locked up. She should be prosecuted. Those officers should be prosecuted. This man was shot in the back. He was shot 9 to 10 times, depending on who's counting. This is unacceptable behavior. But more than this, it's criminal behavior. We don't allow this. The president is grooming us. He's conditioning us. He wants us to be ready for when he's to make his departure. And we are now being groomed to accept it and understand that this police force that he now has total control of, a secret police, they wear masks, they don't identify themselves, they pick people up off the street and whisk them away to distant places without letting family, friends, and others know where they are. This is not the kind of America we want to live in, but this is the kind of America we're already into. This is more than authoritarianism. This is a de facto dictatorship.
Congressmember Al Green, you are from Texas. Texas is where there are ICE jails that house children, that house adults, where there's a measles outbreak. What are you calling for?
I'm calling for ICE to cease and desist. And that's just a kind way of saying, don't do these dastardly deeds. Don't have children, babies. Don't have these babies taken into custody. You said you were going to get to deal with the worst of the worst. Are children the worst of the worst? Do you really mean it when you say that you're going to have this secret list of people? Are you surveilling people in this country, as one of my colleagues asked? This is unacceptable. What's happening in Texas is unacceptable. But it's happening across the country now. It's not just Texas. We were looking at Minneapolis. That's the long way from Texas, and two people died there. We have an opportunity now. We the people have to stand up. Peaceful protest is the way to deal with this kind of behavior. And I say peaceful protest because if you do something other than peaceful, then that other thing becomes the news. Let's have peaceful protest. Let's make sure that we tell people that we the people will have the last word. We won't allow Donald Trump to take over the White House, dismantle it, rebuild it. This is the people's house. You can't do that. He doesn't have that kind of authority. We shouldn't allow him to have it by virtue of being silent. It's time for we the people to continue to stand. I commend all of the people who have been marching and protesting. This is the way that this country was founded. It's as old as the Pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock. As a contemporary, as the farmers coming to Washington, D.C. on their tractors complaining about what was happening to their land. And this is needed as when Dr. King stood on the Mall and gave his I Have a Dream speech. We have to engage in peaceful protest. Litigation is fine. Protestation is also a part of the methodology by which we will bring justice back to America.
Let's go back to Tuesday's hearing. This is the New Jersey Democratic Congressmember LaMonica McIver.
You are here, Mr. Lyons, because white people are getting shot in the face and chest when the cameras are rolling. Because now my Republican colleagues care about optics. But when Keith Porter Jr., a black American citizen, a son, a father, and a man loved by many, was killed by an off-duty ICE agent on New Year's Eve, there were no hearings. So this is for him today. In my district, Jean Wilson Brutus, a Haitian immigrant, a beloved family man, died within 24 hours of being in ICE custody. He is just one of more than 30 people who have died in ICE custody last year. This is for all of them. Every human being your rogue, out-of-control agency has hurt, hunted down, imprisoned, killed, and continue to hold hostage even after they have agreed to be deported. We know this administration doesn't care about protecting people or sparing lives. We all see so plainly what you are doing, what you have been doing to Black and brown folks, immigrants, people silenced in the shadows, now in broad daylight to people peacefully rejecting your cruel agenda in the streets, which is their right to do.
So that is Congressmember MacGyver. LaMonica MacGyver, who's been brought up on charges by the Trump administration after going to Delaney Hall in Newark, New Jersey, to investigate what's happening, to detain people there, and trying to protect the mayor there, who was doing the same thing, Mayor Ross Baraka of Newark. I want to go back to Congressmember Delia Ramirez before I ask Al Green about Black History Month, and ask you, the leaders of the House and the Senate, Democratic leaders, Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, seem to be backing off a demand that these agents should not be masked. Jeffries said, certainly, I think there's agreement no mask should be deployed in an arbitrary and capricious fashion. Are you demanding that they never wear masks?
I think that the American people have demanded that no mask means no masks. I don't care if it's partial mask or if it's a particular situation. No other law enforcement is using masks. Those of us that are in public service that every single day are standing up for the American people, we're not wearing a mask. We also understand that it poses a threat to do the job we do. I have seen the calls that have come into my office since yesterday. The point is, when we say no mask, we mean no masks. You have directors under oath yesterday, Amy, who lied under oath repeatedly and then talked about that we haven't even seen fully what they're capable of. It has to stop. You don't end a paramilitary police when you allow them to cover their face, to harm people, and then go to church with that person or maybe a family next door neighbor the next day as if they're holier than holy themselves. So I think the point is, when we say no masks, we mean no masks. And I really hope that our leadership is in a position to strongly word this and mean it. We have to get those masks off immediately.
I want to thank you, Congressmember Delia Ramirez of Illinois, the first Latina Congress member representing that state, the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants. This is Democracy Now! Congressman Al Green, I also want to ask you about your ongoing efforts to impeach President Trump. This is part of what you said Saturday, after President Trump refused to apologize for posting a racist video depicting President and Michelle Obama as apes.
Mr. President, this is one more reason why, when I go back to Congress, I'm going to bring another set of articles of impeachment against you for your racist attitude that you exhibit against people of color in this country.
This all comes in the middle of the 100th anniversary of Black History Month. The Trump administration has made systematic efforts to erase Black history since President Trump's executive order last March titled Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History. Across the country, several public markers and monuments highlighting the lives of enslaved people or honoring the memory of Black Americans killed in racist attacks are being changed, with any references the Trump administration considers disparaging to American history being removed. In Philadelphia, the National Park Service has dismantled a slavery exhibit that highlighted President George Washington's treatment of his enslaved workers. At Medgar and Merle Evers' home, a national monument in Mississippi, references to Medgar Evers' killer as racist have been removed. The Trump administration's also returned Confederate names to U.S. military bases, restored Confederate statues, cut federal funding to the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana, which educates Americans about the history of slavery, and purged the names of thousands of non-white figures in American history from federal websites. also has stopped giving free entrance to national parks on Martin Luther King's holiday and the federal holiday that is Juneteenth. Still with us is Congressmember Al Green. If you can respond to all of this, but start with President Trump's refusal to apologize for posting this image of the Obamas as apes. I think they kept up the post for about 12 hours, but then when asked to apologize, even after taking it down, he refused.
The president is incapable of apologizing. This is why I would just have him tell the truth, that what he did was racist and what he did demeans people of color. But it's not the first time that he's done this. The president, if you recall, with the people who are of the Nation of Islam or people who are from places where there are Islamic countries, he decided that he wouldn't allow them into the country. The president has said that people from South Africa are experiencing genocide and Anglos can come in, but the South Africans who are of African ancestry cannot. In Texas, there is a movement afoot to call slavery involuntary relocation. What you said is all eminently a part of the reason why we must have articles of impeachment against this president for infusing racism into policy. And that's what he's doing. You might recall some time ago when he was talking about African countries, he called them S-hole countries. And we are now trying as best as we can to prevent people of color from coming into the country. We have to allow him to be himself so that we can then identify him. I'm not going to stop him from being himself. I want to get him out of office. You can't stop him from being himself because he's out of control. He has a histrionic personality disorder. He has to be the center of attention to the extent that even if it hurts someone else, he must be the center of attention. He goes to extreme measures to eliminate DEI, a plane and a helicopter crash before there was any scintilla of an investigation. The president concluded that it was DEI that caused it. Well, that was a shot at Black people, people of color. DEI is no longer allowed as a means of simply having people in the room so that they may be examined for purposes of possibly getting a job. It doesn't guarantee a person a job. All it does is say you can have a person of a different hue in the room and give that person some consideration. This president is doing all that he can to condition us to accept racism, to accept bigotry. There was a young man who was associated with Doge who said some horrible things about Jewish people. He's an anti-Semite. He left the job, and the vice president insisted that he be brought back. The president then confirmed that what the vice president did was appropriate. We can't allow this to continue. Yes, I'm going to bring articles of impeachment against him for infusing his hate into policy. I believe that it's appropriate to do. I hope that my colleagues will support it. But if they do not, I know that posterity is going to remember those of us who took a stand. And sometimes it's better to stand alone than not stand at all.
I want to ask you two questions in a minute about shutting down the airspace in your state, in the city of El Paso, something we haven't seen since 9/11. But first, I want to ask you about a resolution condemning Trump, ordering an unprecedented mid-cycle, what you call racist redistricting of Texas, which, by the way, has been upheld by the Supreme Court. You say that you've become a major target of Republican redistricting efforts following intense pressure from both Trump and your governor, Greg Abbott. Can you explain what's happened to your district, Congressman Green?
Yes, my district was redrawn in an area east of it and to another county, into Liberty County. Then the 18th Congressional District, as we've known it, and the 9th Congressional District were combined. About two-thirds of that district now, this new 18th, consists of people from the 9th Congressional District, about one-third from the 18th Congressional District, as we knew it when it was the preeminent district in the area. Now we find ourselves having to run against each other to somehow conclude that one of us should not be in Congress. Well, I think that both people should be in Congress because, quite frankly, there should be an 18th Congressional District and there should be a 9th Congressional District. But it's the president who sent orders to the governor, telling the governor, get rid of five districts, make sure that Al Green's district was one of them. And when they did that, they eliminated the ninth congressional district so that it's not favorable for a Democrat to win. It favors a Republican, but I believe that a good Democrat can put up a good fight. I would say this to you. This is the acid test. What's happening to me, pardon me for having to bring myself into it, but it's the acid test. They're going to do everything that they can to get me out of Congress because I'm the guy who has brought the articles of impeachment that laid the foundation for his impeachment. I'm the guy who continues to be a part of the avant-garde movement to say that he has done things before others say it. And that then makes me a target as well because they see me as a person who takes this action without having to have permission. I'm a liberated, unbought, unbossed, unafraid Democrat. I'll speak truth to power and truth about power. About power means you say to power, power, there's a problem and you're it. I'm going to do that. But I want to say one more thing to you before we exit. This election is also about the decimation of the seniority system. There's an effort afoot in Congress to eliminate seniority. It was seniority that got Maxine Waters, the chairperson of financial services, that got Benny Thompson, the chairperson of Homeland Security. If we eliminate seniority in Congress, money will rule. And when money rules, we lose. We will lose. We cannot compete with people who have billions of dollars and don't mind spending a few million, perhaps 100 or more, on a given campaign election. We must maintain seniority. If we don't, we're going to find ourselves with persons who are going to have positions, but they won't have the power because they didn't come up through the ranks.
Finally, Congressman Green, this is an area that's actually far from you in the greater Houston area. But the FAA has halted all flights to and from El Paso International Airport for 10 days, citing, quote, special security reasons. Again, we haven't seen anything like this since 9/11. Do you understand what's happening?
I can't conceive of anybody understanding what's happened, given what has been said. There has not been a serious indication as to why this is being done, and this is a very serious thing to do. There must be something that can be said to the public. Transparency is a necessity. Where you have few facts, you're going to have a lot of speculation, and people are starting to speculate now as to what's going on. This level of speculation is unmerited, and the public needs to know more. I believe in transparency. This government under Trump does not. And I think that we've got to do what we can to continue to pressure and press for some knowledge of what's going on. The people who live in the area have to have a lot of consternation. This is something that could impact them. If there's something, some threat out there that may impact them, they have a right to know. I want to know what the threats are that are going to possibly impact me. I live under threats all the time. And I'm pleased to tell you that when I get them, I send them to the police and they investigate them. But if you don't know about the threats, how can you protect yourself? And I can't depend on the Trump administration to protect me. The people of El Paso are not going to depend on them. They will want to be able to protect themselves. And you cannot protect yourself unless you know what the threat is. There's no way for them to do what they're doing without there being something more that they're not telling the public. Few facts, much speculation.
CNN is reporting that a source briefed by the FAA said the El Paso flight ban is driven by military operations from Biggs Army Airfield at Fort Bliss. The FAA acting after the Pentagon could not assure civilian flight safety, Congressman Green.
Well, if they can't assure civilian flight safety, then they ought to give us some reason why they can't do this, given that we've had hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of flights, probably even hundreds or maybe even millions of flights flying out of that area over the years. So if you can't assure the safety, give us a reason why. Don't just do this arbitrarily and capriciously and expect the public to go away. No, that's the way a dictatorship behaves. In a dictatorship, you get little knowledge of why things are being done, but you're expected to go along with whatever is being done. This is why I say we're in a de facto dictatorship, where they do things without transparency and where they do things that are harmful to people, killing people, and they do it with impunity unless we, the people, take a stand.
I want to thank you for being with us. Of course, El Paso Juarez area is a major commerce hub. Congressmember Al Green, Texas Democrat. This is Democracy Now! We come back. We talk to the head of the Union of Concerned Scientists about the Trump administration's moves to gut U.S. climate regulations. Back in 20 seconds.
If you take a step towards freedom, freedom will take two steps towards you. Land and freedom, steel and faith, tooth and bone and wire, and skin, scar, dirt and fire. Woo, woo, woo! Mic check. Woo, woo, woo! It doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter what you say.
Tom Morello at Democracy Now!'s 20th anniversary in 2016. It's now 10 years later. And on February 23rd, Monday night at 7, Democracy Now! Will be celebrating our 30th anniversary. Guests including Angela Davis, Naomi Klein, the Nobel Prize winning Maria Ressa, Michael Stipe, jazz legend Wynton Marsalis, and more. To get tickets, to get more information, go to democracynow.org. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to the Trump administration's sweeping rollback of climate change policy. On Thursday, the Environmental Protection Agency plans to overturn its own conclusion that greenhouse gases endanger public health and cause global warming. Known as the endangerment finding, the Obama-era rules from 2009 required the federal government to regulate the emissions of six gases, including carbon monoxide and methane, which are released from the burning of oil, gas, and coal. The Trump administration's reversal of this decision would undo the legal basis of the fight against global warming and remove emission standards for cars and trucks and reporting obligations for power plants and industries. The EPA's draft version of the new rule says the endangerment finding overstated the risk of heat waves and underplayed the benefits of increased carbon pollution. In a post on X on Tuesday, the EPA Secretary Lee Zeldin wrote, quote, "This week, we make history, getting ready to join President Trump to announce the single largest act of deregulation in the history of the USA," unquote. For more, we go to Washington, D.C., where we're joined by Gretchen Goldman, president and CEO of the Union of Concerned Scientists, also an environmental engineer, formerly worked on environmental policy in the Biden White House and at the Department of Transportation. Gretchen, thanks so much for being with us. Talk about the significance of what's happening now.
It's quite significant, and it was quite devastating to see, even though we expected that this was coming. The impacts of this action will be vast, both in terms of our immediate ability to protect people from the harms of climate change, economic harms, health harms, and also in terms of our ability to meet U.S. climate goals, to meet global climate goals. And this is all happening with time that we don't have. We know we need to swiftly and dramatically reduce heat-trapping gas emissions now, as year after year we see devastating harm from climate-driven extreme weather events. And this is now something we really need to take action on. And so it's quite devastating to see this week.
The Trump administration initially attempted to undermine the science behind the endangerment finding. And again, for people to understand, explain exactly what that is and what that report was based at the Department of Energy.
As part of their broader attacks on climate science and climate action, the Trump administration secretly convened a group of climate contrarians under the Department of Energy to produce a report that reiterated many of the long debunked climate denial talking points. And tried to pass it off as a science-based report. We won in court, the Union of Concerned Scientists and the Environmental Defense Fund together. We won, and the administration disbanded that group of climate contrarians and have had to turn over more than 100,000 pages of documents related to that. We're seeing that they are being slowed down by these efforts and our ability to push back.
Can you talk about President Trump's personal connections to fossil fuel executives and how exactly that is affecting what is expected to be announced on Thursday? Again, what many are calling the single, including Zeldin, the single biggest attack in U.S. history on federal authority to climate, to tackle the climate crisis. He calls it the single largest deregulation act in U.S. history.
This is their holy grail. They've been focused on this for a long time because the reality of climate change and its impacts are very inconvenient if you're someone who wants to give handouts to the fossil fuel industry and wants to ensure that these industries can continue polluting communities across the country. And so we're seeing them really take steps to give handouts to connections to the fossil fuel industry and others, and that's harming communities, especially Black and brown communities, where we know already face disproportionate impacts and harms from toxic air pollution.
This comes a month after President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the UNFCCC, right, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Talk about the significance of these two acts together.
We're really seeing the abdication of U.S. leadership on climate, and that has huge implications both for our immediate ability to reduce heat-trapping emissions globally, as we know is desperately needed, but also in terms of our standing and contribution in the world. The U.S. has long exhibited climate leadership in terms of innovation, in terms of reduction in emissions, and in terms of providing that urgency around what we need to do to take action on climate change. And this, unfortunately, is going to set us back a long time in terms of that diplomacy, those international relationships, and the U.S.'s ability to help lead the world in taking action on climate change.
Carolyn Leavitt, the White House press spokesperson, emphasized auto standards being an area where regulation will be rolled back. You used to work, Gretchen Goldman, at the Department of Transportation. Can you talk about emission standards and what's been achieved by these standards and the incredible effect of a rollback?
I was at the Department of Transportation working on climate and transportation issues, and so this is very devastating to me personally as well. Under the previous administration, we issued the strongest standards to reduce dependence of cars and trucks on fossil fuel, and this was saving people money at the pump. It was helping us with climate emissions reductions, and it was reducing toxic air pollution in communities. It was one of the strongest climate actions that this nation has taken, but now, tomorrow, it's expected to be announced that they're repealing those standards, and that's going to set us back. It's going to cost consumers more money, and it's really going to stifle innovation and our ability to meet the moment and reduce climate emissions everywhere.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us, Gretchen Goldman, President and CEO of the Union of Concerned Scientists, speaking to us from Washington, D.C. A very happy birthday to Messiah Rhodes. On Monday, February 23rd, once again, Democracy Now! Will be celebrating our 30th anniversary at the historic Riverside Church here in New York City. Guests will include Angela Davis and Naomi Klein, Maria Ressa, the journalist who won the Nobel Peace Prize, Michael Stipe, the singer, the songwriter, the activist, the jazz legend Wynton Marsalis, the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Mossab Abu-Toha, the renowned playwright Hooray for the Riffraff, and so many more. Go to democracynow.org for details and to get tickets. The seats are filling up fast. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. It's great to be back in cold New York. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Radio. Burnaby.
With Canada's health system under strain, going digital can help heal our healthcare. From virtual visits for everyday concerns to faster, more accurate diagnostics powered by AI, technology is transforming care. Digital Health Canada supports the people and innovations behind this change. Learn more at digitalhealthcanada.com and subscribe to our podcast.